meant to facilitate all of the things we're looking to do. And for the logic of this evening, each term we have a praise and prayer gathering, and I've known over the years some 50 or 60, on a really good night, 70 gather. And this is our termly praise and prayer gathering, although I've called it by another name, and I've required that all leadership team members attend, as to those on the lead preach rota. My small brain would indicate that we've saved ourselves two evening meetings to free up. So thank you, those of you on those various groups, and thank you especially if you don't normally come to either of those three gatherings and are just intrigued. An awful lot bubbling and happening in our parish's life for which we value prayer. There will be some prayer a little bit later on, particularly after my first Bible reflection in stillness. So with thanksgiving and prayer, pray for David Borkham and Paul Jagger bearing the heat of the day for the extensive refurbishments to this building. You'll have to calm the excitement of St Andrew's Down, who have now got their kitchen and their loo and everything else. Revival is breaking out at St Andrew's with all that's happening. Pray for the youth and children that are going to be inhabiting that with Emily's so-called grub group. Have I got that right? There's lots of good things happening. It is not about who's doing best in the parish, but there's a significant excitement about open house on Saturdays at St Philip's. Do pop along if you've a mind to and are free occasionally on Saturdays. Very grateful for that significant witness that's seeing transfer growth into the life of St Philip's on a Sunday morning, although these things are a long haul. As the wardens reminded me at standing committee on Monday morning, there was a really good gate here at the parish church, 150, 160, maybe even 170, including children. It was a great start to the new year. Hugely grateful for all the prayer and support that goes on behind the scenes, and those that faithfully attend to the parish prayer meeting every Saturday morning between 9 and 10 are always happy to have occasional visitors. I've made it a little bit of a rule this evening that I won't give a long list of people in pastoral need, of which there are a number. If you do know of people and you want to pray for them in small groups, just mention their name without going into too much detail. But I do need to mention David Hayes, who has clearly been kind of blighted with a significant and serious stroke at the start of the new year. Pray for Rosemary and their two daughters and grandchildren. I visited David and Rosemary at hospital and at home, and it's going to be a long haul, probably months, and he won't be the same again, but with prayer you can make really good recovery. Pray for them. This next one will come as a wee bit of a shock. You'll know that Claire Page, or if you didn't, is pregnant, expecting Andy and Claire's second child. It's a boy. I think I've got that right. But they found out recently that the child has got spina bifida. That means that she has been operated on in hospital today, and I think the operation was about midday. I had a text from Andy, 6:45 this evening, says, I've just seen her. She's come round and all is well. But this is one of five operations that's only ever taken place in the whole world. And they're hoping this will significantly help the stability and life of the child that will be born prematurely at home, not at home, in hospital sometime in February. Claire will need to be at home between the operation, which is today, and the birth of their second child. Andy will be at work and will be working as well as he can, but we as a parish would want to pray and support and care for them. He did give me something to read, but he said I can markify it, which I've kind of done because I felt that was the right thing to do. He's asked me to give that news out, and I'm sure you'd want to know. Now let's have a moment's quiet. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read a psalm. It'd be really nice to hear Bibles open. It's number 570, or page 570, Psalm 46. Father, we pray that as we read this psalm, you would still our hearts and minds to receive from you this evening. We pray for David and Rosemary and their family. We pray for Andy, for Claire, for Ezra, and their child forming in Claire's womb. Pray for the doctors and nurses who attend. And we pray for all in particular need, thinking of our families and friends, often in a hard and lonely and tough world. We pray for them now, that your light and your love would shine upon them. Thank you that prayers of righteous men and women are powerful and effective. May we daily be a people in prayer who call upon you and know the Father's love. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 46, a very familiar psalm, and there's an annotation, which is why I've asked you to turn it up, with the phrase Selah and a good memory in the life of the parish. We had a whole year's reflection on this, as some of you will know. It's a musical annotation. It basically means take a breath, pause before you carry on. And I felt prompted to read this psalm to you this evening because it speaks of nations in turmoil. America, Iran and Iraq, always get them confused, but they're not happy chappies at the moment, are they? And the whole thing could go massively out of control. Even dear Queen Elizabeth has got problems in her family all over again, and the media and Harry and so on. And the ghastly, ugly evil in Manchester. I don't think I've ever known a new year start with such sort of... The nations are in turmoil and conflict. And this psalm speaks to these sorts of things. But for those reading it, the particular message is to take a breath, Selah. Take a pause. Take a stop. The conclusion of the psalm, of course, is matchless. Be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob, our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What is there very explicit in verse 10, it's an imperative, it's a command, be still and know that I am God, is enacted out. It's dramatically portrayed in the psalm as it goes through with the Selah. You stop, you take a breath. No singer can keep going without taking a breath. It's kind of the pause between the second and the third movement. And I know people find it difficult to stop and have God with them. The word Selah literally means pause, take a breath. And there's a powerful undergirding of breath, meaning onomatopoeic, like the breath of God, the Spirit of God, which is hovering over the waters in creation. Or the Spirit who blows where he wills, as Jesus says, and suddenly gives birth to someone and they're born again. I love my dogs, but I hate their breath. If ever you get close to them, by all means, stroke them. But if either of them breathe on you, it is just utterly, utterly foul. It's particularly distinctly unpleasant if the person you're speaking to has had onion and garlic and too much alcohol. You think, just okay. But the breath of God is not like an impolite neighbour. or a disgusting smelly dog, the breath of God brings love. It brings healing. It brings unity. And it happens, according to this psalm, when you stop, when you pray. What did the hymn writer say? Breathe on me, breath of God, then shall I be made new. Pray with me for the church in this land at this day. Pray for the land of Iraq and Iran and President Trump. Pray where you see division and discord and disunity. Pray that there's not a dog breath feeling, but a God breath feeling. Pray even this evening that the Spirit would come and breathe his loving breath of life upon us. Sometimes I feel as a church leader we need to do less and stop. There is sometimes even a ridiculous addiction that some people who can't stop keep on going and going and going until they drop and I meet them here. And we need to make sure it's in the life of the Spirit that all that activity is inspired. And as I said, I'm quite good at saying direct things. As I said to my wardens recently, sometimes we're going to have to say, no, you can't do that. We need to stop. We need to let the life of the Spirit come. And I have to say, there is much life evidence of the Spirit here this evening. Absolutely wonderful and brilliant. My plan and burden and heart is through us that others might sense that. The Spirit's breath. Now do please stand. We are going to sing, probably without a pause. And I'm going to be an incredibly naughty vicar because John made me not say anything. But dear John, who's strumming humbly on his guitar, where's he gone? Has been awarded some great distinguished honour, an OBE, on the New Year's Honours list. Do please stand as we sing, and may the Lord inhabit the praises of his people. Prayers of thanksgiving for all the good things that are happening in the life of our parish. Prayers of concern for those I've mentioned. And prayers that the Spirit of God would come and breathe his confidence and renewal upon our lives, giving us direction where we're to serve him. Perhaps what to stop doing and what to start doing. Father, we are your children by grace, and we don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to live a fruitless life. So please put us to your service in the way of your choosing. Turn our weakness into your strength. And use us frail human beings. For we seek the honour of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we remain seated as we sing.
Steve.
Thank you, John and Steve, and your accomplished singers. Thank you very much indeed for leading us so sensitively. Depending on how this evening goes, I've not got a long presentation, probably 10, 15 minutes. We might well have some time with each other in praying comfortably in groups. Please don't be terrified about that. Silence, thought or two. But so that you can feel relaxed with those around you and particularly connect with maybe those you might not recognise or know. We can't mingle for too long because I want to be back here and making a presentation. Thank you for coming for that. Why don't you just connect and say hi to those around you? You might well be praying with them later on, so it'd be good that you're on friendly terms. And if you see these sorts of people all the time, just go and find someone you've never seen before. Notice sheets out this Sunday, Recovery from Divorce and Separation. This course is the single most helpful thing I've done. If you know folks for whom this would apply, and I'm sure you realise that Wendy and I are always happy to be with people in times of struggle, but this is a kind of get back on your feet kind of course, really, for those in that particular situation. I don't want to dwell on that for obvious reasons this evening, but a lot of hospitality is the good things that we're aware of, signposting and passing them on to others. And my hope and prayer is what I'm going to unveil, which is really quite a modest thing. It's no biggie, so don't get your hopes up too much, sorry, because you are rather enthusiastic this evening. Dear me, quieten down. You know, actually, we'll help this all along. I spent 3 or 4 hours with my mum, who's in her early 90s, lives on her own, 2 hours around the M25, a couple of days before the busy Christmas period started. It was a time that clearly meant a lot to me, as I'm one of two children, I'm her eldest child. And she told me something I hadn't realised before, that when she was a little girl, so she's in her 90s, and so this is 80 years ago, she used to go as a young girl to her parish church nearby. They relocated to a church in Reading, which is a big famous city centre church, Greyfriars Reading, where Peter Burgess, who I've seen here, has had links of old. I enjoyed that kind of connection. I was baptised, confirmed, sent for ordination from there. Been invited back to lead their house parties and all that jazz. But anyway, Mum, until she relocated to Reading, went to her local church. And she said on Christmas Day, as a girl, there was a 6 o'clock service, a 7 o'clock service, then an 8 o'clock service. And then there was the main act of worship. And she told me this lovely story of the vicar in his robes with sweat pouring down his face, just utterly exhausted. This is 80 years ago. 50 years ago, when I was 50 years ago, I heard of a story related to me by a lay minister, a reader, when I was a minister in Northwood. The church then in those days had well over 1,000 people. It was a great place to be and to serve the Lord and travel the country. And this lay reader, so an equivalent to kind of Brian Bark or Sally today, that kind of person, of that vintage and era as well, said to me, and he was kind of putting me in my place a wee bit, he said, look, you know, the vicars of old, I can remember a vicar telling me that when he found out that at the 7 o'clock service, after which there was an 8 o'clock service, and then the main body of the service, when the 7 o'clock service, when the numbers went below 50, he got really cross because he knew something wasn't right in the church, at which God had appointed him to oversee. Now, when you think about that, that's 80 years ago, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. 50 years ago, a 7 o'clock service before an 8 o'clock service that had 50 people in. I mean, actually, 50 years ago, is that not that long ago? And the church is always one generation from extinction. Now, this kind of narrative of decline doesn't do anyone any good. But I have to say that this decline across Europe for Christianity, and indeed in the Blessed Church of England, is consistent, it's inescapable, and I sometimes feel no one is really facing the reality of it. But we don't need to dwell on it. Especially when you've got good news stories heading in the other direction. If you follow the Greens, I had a happy meeting at Lambeth Palace 3 weeks before Christmas, where I was revalidated as a national member of the College of Evangelists. It was not something I applied to 20-odd years ago. It was something that was conferred on me because it was who I was and what I did. I accepted the invitation. And for long reasons I won't go into, I was part of a discussion with the now Bishop of Leicester that this college was closed, and it was rebadged as the Archbishop's College of Evangelists, and we recruit a whole new generation of evangelists. It meant a lot to me personally that I was there at the beginning. I wanted to be there at the transition and to set a whole lot of new people going. I was particularly annoyed that Justin, who promised he could be there, avoided the meeting. And it took me a while emotionally to settle into the meeting because I thought, you know what, that is just not good enough. He'd flown off to the Congo. And I then realised when I followed the news screens why he actually thought that that meeting in the Congo was more important than the meeting at Lambeth Palace to sort the Church of England out. God bless him. What I do remember, though, he sent one of these clever video messages to everyone present. Look, I'm sorry, I can't be with you, I'm in the Congo. That sort of thing. But there was gravitas, there was sensitivity, there was deep humility, and there was a deep robustness and understanding. And I can't replay it exactly, but the bottom line was, I do understand how tough it is if you're seeking to win people for Christ in this generation when everything seems to be going against you. And despite what anyone does, my mother, my lay reader, my efforts and energies, all the numbers are going downwards. Don't you care about that? I've benefited from the church. We want our children to. Is it going to go? One of the contexts, oh Felicity, dear me. One of the contexts into which this tough, hard situation is, and I could go on about this all evening, that each person who's an up-to-date, alive, fresh commentator on this situation, it's one of exile. It's strangeness. If you are part of the committed few, you will be an alien. It will be strange to you. It won't be exactly as you know it. We will not get back to 50 people at a 7 o'clock service in the morning, followed by a humding in 8 o'clock. It just will never happen. It's hard. We can easily, easily change the narrative because it's there in the scriptures, and one exilic book that's written is the book from which our verse for this year comes from. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. The context of 1 Peter, into which this word of God comes and then comes to us fresh, alive today, is one of exile. The people there were dispersed, their numbers were down, they found the culture strange, they were hard-pressed. Some of them faced trials of great, great difficulty. Perhaps some other people let everyone else down. Love covers a multitude of sins. Perhaps they had no 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or church building to meet in. Maybe they met in each other's homes. It's the only way the Christian church should survive. That's the context. The word of God comes offer hospitality. And of course, the other fascinating thing is that we sense much of God's good, loving presence here. I could repeat many stories of God's blessing, but one that's not been told was a fascinating surprise that happened late last year. When, for reasons of overcrowding in the church diary, this has become my besetting sin and my lifelong legacy as your vicar. That's meant to be sarcastic humour. Competing pressures, we reassigned an already planned Hospitality Sunday from September to the 17th of November. Let's just open up our homes, have hospitality. There was some chaos and ineptitude with the clipboards and the sign-ups, but actually, unasked for feedback has been quite staggering, particularly if you're interested, as I'm making the assumption we all are, that the Church of God in Tunbridge grows and that the life of the Spirit inhabits each and every one of us and we don't keep it to ourselves. Thank you for this aid memoir. Over 130 people joined in Hospitality Sunday on Sunday the 17th of November. All four churches and all services, including 8 o'clock, morning and evening and Wednesday, were represented. There were toddlers and there were those who were 90 years old. Half of those who took part were relatively new to the parish. There were 22 gatherings. I didn't even know that. Meals, afternoon teas, and so on. 8 families and young children represented. I would love to see that number doubled or tripled. Some comments from those who took part. We've had a lovely time. We've made new friends. We'd love to do it again. I've not spoken to so-and-so. They're such a lovely couple. So good to have met a member from another congregation. One family with young children the following Sunday were waiting eagerly to meet their host again. And a number of new people to the life of the parish were the first to put their hand up and say, I'd like to be part. There was one very unfortunate error. It was a mistake. It was stupidity. It was incompetence. It was laziness. Call it what you want. You kind of think, oops. And love covered a multitude of sins, and the person that did the loving was the most new member of the life of our parish. I thought to myself, hey, they got it. If new people can forgive that quickly, why is it that we got so many? Anyway, we won't go that route. It was just great. So I thought to myself, well, it's no biggie. Why don't we just try and do this again, but just sort of expand the envelope and expand the blessing. It's been a hard year for John Lewis. They're not giving out rewards to their partners, poor things. But did you know every member of Greg's is getting a 300 quid bonus? Somewhere the business model, Greg's is doing better than John Lewis. It's a topsy-turvy world, let me tell you. But we want to be where the dividends are. It seems to me there's something good in this. So I am going to propose that during February we have a Heart for Hospitality Month. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. It's a wonderful picture of hospitality and openness that many of us have accepted for ourselves personally when we've received Christ. Perhaps it's a model of the Eucharist. I will feed on him. Christ in some way comes in bread and wine. Within the context of that story, which is a true story, there was a church at Laodicea. There was a church in Tunbridge. It was Jesus is standing at the door of St. Andrew's and knocking and saying, may I use your loo, please? I've heard you've got one here. Can I offer someone down the road a cup of coffee in your new kitchen? Or Tunbridge Parish Church, can I have one of the greens, please, so I know what's going on here? I'm standing at the door of your church. It's St. Saviour's. I'd like to know how to kind of really get with God when I come here. Can he help me? It's lovely pietistically, individually, and it works. But the original context was it's the doors of the church. And you can define the church in this country by its denomination. Well, we're Anglicans. You can define the church in this country by the Diocese of Rochester. We're part of that. Or you go to St. Andrew's, St. Philip's, or you come to the parish church, or this, that, or the other service. The other way you define a church is whether Jesus is in it. It doesn't work without him. I've been to many churches where you just feel, do you know what? It's a club. They're not going to change. They look pretty much the same as they did last year. And no new people. Is Jesus here? So this is what it's about. It's hospitality to him. We host our lives to him. We host our churches to him in the visitors. I'm not sure if this illustration works. Let me rapidly do this before we hand out some sheets and unveil what I hope will be a really good, exciting time in February. It's all about this kind of quantum perception of how people feel. You can't underestimate the devastation and the dislocation someone feels when they lose a loved one. Until you've been there from the inside, you cannot possibly comprehend it. All those steps in parenthood, when you have the argument with a teenager and they're no longer the preteen that sort of complies, or the terrible transition and toddler tantrums you get in the supermarket aisle with a two-year-old. It just doesn't always do as it's told, and now all of a sudden everyone's watching. And you have to come to terms with all these kind of changes in life. You can't too underestimate the power that happens to someone when they realise that my greatest strength is in fact my greatest weakness. Instead of all the time trying to ignore something you're not, allowing God to accept you as you are and be yourself, with your greatest weakness, the Lord can turn it into your greatest strength. Many people don't open the door of that bit of their lives to the Lord. They keep it hidden from everyone else, including even Jesus. How desperate is that? He wants to come in. He wants to look after that fragility, that weakness, and give it strength. And then you'll be a blessing to other people. You can't underestimate the kind of dislocation and the change that will happen. And when someone turns from darkness to light, they suddenly become a Christian, or they get switched on in the life of the Spirit. It's a massive, massive change. And so too, and this is the point, the change when someone feels they want to connect with the church, but they've never been here before. Oh, I so wish, with the many people who have occasional connections with the life of this parish, be it wedding couples, baptism couples, occasional visitors who we only see once but not again, people in the community that respect you, that love you, if only they could meet you, your story and testimony of how God's been with you would actually give them more than a blip on the radar. It would bring God to them. Of course, Justin Welby might well be able to sort it, particularly if he met them. I'm getting a wee bit sensitive personally about Mark saying a few words. I might be able to turn things around. But it's only Jesus that could do that. You must realise that. It's a huge dislocation in people's mind. You don't realise how much they need your story. And there's a blindfold on both sides. You don't realise how much you've got to give. They don't realise how much they've got to receive. Now, this is not going to sort it. In fact, one of the great problems that the Archbishop and I have, to put my name with him, he mentioned my name once, he said, Mark who? That every church leader, and if they're particularly stupid, every church congregational member thinks, if only there was a magic bullet that we could shoot this and sort this out. This is no magic bullet. There's no one thing that is going to sort the Church of England or get the numbers going up. But all I'm doing is saying that this seems to have worked. Can we just give this a go and be a lot more open-hearted and welcoming to visitors in our midst for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the growth of the church? There is a handout coming round now, and I promise I'll be swift in getting through it. Thank you. This is not a free-for-all. You're doing it in the name of the Lord. You're doing it actually in the name of this parish church, which God has asked me to be vicar for a while. Happy to let some things go under my watch if I feel it doesn't let too much damage happen. But actually, in this particular place, we'll do it this way. I'll give you the prayer. I'll appoint the facilitators. Words will be shared very, very briefly, a couple of 3 minutes. Non-offensive, welcoming, invitational. And perhaps there'll be a sharing of a story. You'll enjoy food. And you'll just see where the discussion goes. It's not full on. It's not heavy duty. It's not intense. It's relaxed. It's enjoyable. And I will take responsibility for briefing the facilitators to make sure no one hogs the gathering with their nervous chatter, and that silent, shy people are put at their ease and can contribute. It's my conviction that if these sorts of people who don't know how good they are with the story of God, with these sorts of people who have never ever connected before, if they somehow rub shoulders and connect, the light bulb won't come at the moment, but actually some good things will happen. Must be very careful not to detain you too long, but I was so heartened when we did something, I think it was Triumphs of His Grace, where we met in pairs and two people were allocated together, and they both, under the providence of God, I mean, these are ladies in their 70s, had struggled with relationships with their mothers who had long gone buried over many, many years, and they found profound grace and help. And you could not have organized that. We didn't know it, but in the spirit they were put together. At the hospitality event that Ali and I attended, interestingly at David and Rosemary Hayes' home, as part of the 17th of November, some of the conversations are still a subject of Ali and I in an enriching way. But the point is, I wasn't saying anything. I was receiving something from them. To be a host means you receive. I'm not necessarily asking you to give. You're to receive other people's insights and thoughts and questions. I'll provide you with a closing prayer. So you got the thought there in point one. You can, of course, do this off your own bat at any other time during the year. But I figured with all that's going on in the diary, I could really only squeeze this in February. There you go. Having sent some emails, I've forgotten what day it was today, Thursday. We sent some emails Tuesday, got replies by Wednesday, and already we've got 13 hosts confirmed. That's amazing. With a large number of group facilitators. That is a rapid response. Part of the admin staff that I have responsibility for managing and supervising, guiding and leading do get frustrated when they don't get replies. It's a waste of time, effort and money. End of gripe. That was a staggering reply. Thank you. Already 13 hosts. I'm after 30. Let me say, just for a day, we got 22 with little effort. I'm praying for 30 God-given hosts and group facilitators. I will choose these. At a mutually convenient time, the hosts and the facilitators will get together and agree on your occasion for your gathering. You'll need to do that quite quickly. And I've formed a one-stop group. Very grateful to Sarah Thompson and Yolanda Roberts and Val for doing the 17th of November allocation. And they did it very swiftly and carefully, although there was quite a lot of laughter and sweat in a 2.5-hour meeting. Now, my simple brain thinks that if 130 people can be allocated by three people quite sweetly, and I've got a lot of good dividend response, Greg's is outdoing John Lewis and all that, I need to get a group of eight people who I can trust to do an allocation on a wide scale of over 300 plus people to engage in hospitality. People from outside the church, from different churches, occasional visitors and regulars. It could be quite chaotic. It could be quite fun. Think of the Spanish Inquisition. Yolanda's in the group. If you've never been loved by Sarah Thompson, Sarah Thompson's in the group. You can trust these people to do the allocations well. And they're going to meet with me after this time to get a little bit of a briefing to make sure it works. Andy and Emily are in on the group to signal my intention that we need to ramp the game up in this parish for for work amongst children and young families. We got 8 last time. I'm sure we can get more. It's the only way young families are going to connect with the life of the parish if they hospitably meet with regular members and feel welcomed, buzzing in, singing a few songs, stress with the kids, and walking home, and a couple of talks from me is not going to do it. It just will never do it. They've got to build relationships. How else can I enable this to happen than by this sort of route? Where did I get to? For those who are group facilitators or hosts, you will want a briefing from me to make sure you're going to do this well. I'll give you some tips and tricks to make sure the gathering goes fine. And I've put some times aside in my diary to do that. If you're just interested and you want to come along, you're really enthusiastic and just want to get the next word on this, it's not a closed shop. Anyone can come along to those gatherings to find out more. There's a wee bit of a twist in this, in that previously it was the job of the hosts just to provide the meal. There was no talk. In this particular model, the host and the group facilitators will be responsible themselves for trying to get members to come to their gathering. We will do our best through Sundays, through other routes, and so will the one-stop group, to get people there. You're going to have to pray and sweat and work at it a wee bit, but I think that work and that sweat and that prayer is worth it. There'll be an invitation card for you to use if you want it. Really only if you want it, for you to write on. You're invited to this gathering at the invitation of so-and-so. Put your name on, put the time and so on and so forth. There's some words from me. Simply, generically inviting someone in the name of the parish church, in the name of the Lord, to receive hospitality from us. So to my simple mind, this, which should have been on your gaze and prayer life if you're a committee member of this parish church since April, practice hospitality. It's a line for you to think about. This is what we are about, unashamedly this year. God is our host. We are daily invited to live in his love. His followers are given the privilege of offering hospitality to others as one response to this generous love. I invite you to join our parish family in practicing hospitality. Hey, that's what you signed up for. That's for you. And this word is for your guests, which simply put says, as your parish church family in 4 churches, we love you, we care for you, we just like to be with you, to share something of God's love. How do you go about being involved in this? Perhaps a little bit of a precursor. If it's just not for you, if you've got lots of other commitments, you're completely scared stiff, please just leave it. It's no biggie. We love you. You'll be all right. Maybe if there's that niggle, whoa, don't want to do this, you do need to. Okay, that's the Spirit of God upon you. Deal with it, pal. The Lord loves you and his Spirit can help you. But if you want to, as I'm sure you do, positively be involved, some very simple things here to lead you on your way. You might think about hosting. You certainly want to be a sign-up guest, I would have thought. Each of you here has got a Christian witness. You won't be asked to say anything. But this is no biggie. I mean, chill, pal, please. Everyone's got to eat. It's not going to hurt you. Be a guest. Mingle. Be known as a Christian. Be known as a member of the parish church. Sign up as a guest. You can be involved that way. You could sign up as a host. Pray. The Lord will guide you. You can encourage by networking and spreading the word through your own links. You may know people that would be happy to take part, but may be shy to get involved. Surely it's worth going out of your comfort zone to help people. If the main climate of the country, which the Archbishop of Canterbury and I often think about, along with many other church leaders, is exile. The numbers are going down. Life is not as it always used to be. It's strange, it's hard, it's tough being a Christian in this place. The response biblically to the paradigm of exile, there's only one word. And I bet no one here knows it. Maybe we need to do some work on it. There's only one response to the word exile in the scriptures. It's the dominant theme of prayer of lament. We've lost it. It's not like it was in my mum's day. Look what's happening to the values and morals in our country. What about my family? What about my friends? We've lost it. And in prayer, you lament. When you start to do that, the Lord will give you boldness to speak to someone, to say, come on, you can do this. I know I'm warming the temperature up a little bit, but please, if this is just not for you, you're out of sorts about it, we love you, we care for you, it's not a problem, it really isn't. I do remember one former lay staff volunteer member here helping me come to terms with life in the parish church, because it is a bit different to how they do things elsewhere in the country, you know, especially if you hobnob with the Archbishop of Canterbury and all that. I mean, forget all this OBE rubbish. I mean, come on. You know, respect, please. Our group only grew when we got together and someone started to cry that things weren't as they should be. I thought, that's prayer of lament. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Isn't that what we sing? Oh, it's all so nice, though. I get so many lovely feelings. I love singing and the drums and the tambourines and, oh, I don't like that, though. It's not about that. What that song is about is you get your heart broken because you're in touch with God. And when you lament, when you pray, you go out of your comfort zone and it starts to affect what you do with your time, your hospitality, your space, and all the rest of it. And rejoice in the overall possible impact under God for which our parish is busily doing. Remember, please, to support this, and thank you for your prayers and commitment to it. But just think of 30 or so gatherings with 10 or so people or 300 people under prayer, chatting and befriending each other, the benefit that could come from that. Do pray for this one-stop group. I think they've all volunteered to be part of this. I can't remember. Yolanda's nodding her head. They have been. And you got the Spanish Inquisition to answer for, so you volunteered quite easily. Thank you for that. The first wave literally fell into place within hours, so I've allocated hosts and group facilitators. That is not going to be public. I'm not going down the stupid route, I want to go to the group Mark's speaking at, or I really don't want to go to the group that Mark's speaking at. I've got to have Wendy. Oh, she's the only one I like. Or you have to go to Caroline Buck's house. The food is absolutely divine, let me tell you. I'm not having that funny business, okay? We're going to allocate. You're just going to like it or lump it and get on with it, okay? Or you're on the naughty step, or you're to bed early. Sorry. But for ease of communication across the ranks here this evening, I've allocated people, and it fell out quite nicely. I think you guys and gals will get on quite well. Thank you for coming. I'm sure you've got lots of questions. Can't ask me. You've got the one-stop group to go to for that. Could we sing? Would that be okay? And then we'll have some prayer time, and then we'll kind of clear off. It's 9:05. If you're desperate to get away, should be through by 9:15. Our prayer time, I did have a little sheet I was going to use, but to let those of you who need to get home go, I think we'll pause now and I'll pray, and then we'll say the grace. Perhaps in 5 or so minutes, if the one-stop group could gather with me in the chancel area, I'll be at the door to chat if you've got any immediate kind of questions or concerns. But most importantly, if you kind of want to sign up this evening and just kind of signal guest, yep, possible host. There are some clipboards around. It just saves everyone a lot of fuss and bother if we kind of strike while the iron's hot. We're not looking to manipulate or cajole anyone. That's not the point. If you just want to chill through February, ignore the whole thing, really not a problem, no biggie. Just give us your prayers and your support for all these other things that are going on. And thank you once again for coming this evening. The grace to each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.